Okay, we continue our verse-by-verse study through the book of Isaiah. We come to chapter 23, verse 1, and this is our 14th study in the book of Isaiah. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 23, 1. We're going to look at the fall of Tyre today. Not Tyre like you put on your car. T-Y-E-R. It was a city that was north of Israel. The Bible says, the burden of Tyre. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish. For it is laid waste, so that there is no house, no entering in. From the land of Kittim, it is revealed to them. Be still, ye inhabitants of the coast, thou whom the merchants of Sidon, who pass over the sea, have replenished. Tyre and Sidon are two cities just north of Israel in the land of what would be Lebanon today. In the days of King Solomon, Tyre and Sidon introduced idolatry into the land of Israel. And that idolatry, it may have started out small, like a lot of bad things start out small, but it mushroomed into total spiritual apostasy. And so the time has come. God will punish his people for idolatry, and he will also punish Tyre and Sidon for their part in it. Verse 3, and by great waters, the seed of Shihor, the harvest of the river, is her revenue, and she is a merchandise of nations. Tyre had a port, and it became an international market. A lot of wealth, the merchants were very wealthy up there. 4, be thou ashamed, O Sidon, for the sea hath spoken, even the strength of the sea, saying, I travail not, nor bring forth children, neither do I nourish up young men, nor bring up virgins. The merchants of Tyre had become rich by means of the sea, God says, no more. Verse 5, as the report concerning Egypt, so shall they be greatly pained at the report of Tyre. The merchants from Tyre had been buying goods from Egypt, but no more. As a result, Egypt feels the financial crush as well. Verse 6, pass ye over to Tarshish, wail, ye inhabitants of the coast. God says, you people who live on the coast of Tyre and Sidon, you better think about moving. Maybe you should move to Tarshish. Verse 7, is this your joyous city, whose antiquity is of ancient days? Her own feet shall carry her afar off to sojourn. Sidon was an ancient city. Her people had lived there happily for centuries. Verse 8, who hath taken this counsel against Tyre, the crowning city, whose merchants are princes, whose merchants are the honorable of the earth? God says, who arranged to destroy Tyre? Who's responsible for their downfall? Verse 9, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it, to stain the pride of all glory, and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. God has arranged the destruction of Tyre because her merchants had become arrogant. They didn't think they needed God. After all, they had all that wealth, and they had all their toys. 10, pass through thy land like a river, O daughter of Tarshish. there is no more strength. The merchants will have to find new work. God says you ought to try farming. You know, pass through thy land. That's what that's talking about. Try farming, perhaps. Verse 11, he stretched out his hand over the sea. He shook the kingdoms. The Lord hath given a commandment against the merchant city to destroy its strongholds. God controls everything. See, including the economy. And he punished Tyre by ruining their economy. 12. And he said, thou shalt no more rejoice, O thou oppressed virgin, daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Kittim. There also shalt thou have no rest. You know, people of Tyre can sail to the island of Cyprus if they want to try to get away from their troubles, but their troubles are going to follow them because their troubles are God's punishment. 13. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This people was not till the Assyrian founded it. For those who dwell in the wilderness, they set up its towers, they raised up its palaces, and he brought it to ruin. God used Babylon as his rod of punishment to attack Tyre. Chaldea is another name for Babylon. Verse 14. Howl, ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. So any sailors returning home to Tyre are in for a real shocker. When they return home, they will discover that the enemy has destroyed their harbor. 15. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. And so after 70 years, Tyre will make a comeback. Verse 16. Take an harp, go about the city, thou harlot that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. God says, write songs that tell the story of the fall of Tyre. Now, maybe some people will learn from her sin, and maybe some will be able to avoid her punishment. 17. And it shall come to pass, after the end of 70 years, that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. You know, God is not against business or making money, but he is displeased when people exclude him from their activities. And that's one of the lessons Tyre must learn. 18. And her merchandise and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up. For her merchandise shall be for those who dwell before the Lord to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. Tyre must learn that getting money just to have money isn't right. Giving money just to hoard wealth is not right. God wants his people to earn money in order to spend it in a way that honors God. Spend it as the Lord directs. Chapter 24. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. One day, God will ruin the entire earth. He's going to empty the land. Verse 2, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of interest, so with the giver of interest to him. Every class of society will suffer on the day when God judges. Verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied, and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. God's judgment will be a total judgment, and when the time comes, it will not be hard for him to do it. God will speak, and it will happen. 4. The earth mourneth, and fadeth away. The world languisheth, and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. When God judges, the strong people of the world will become weak. 5. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. God punishes when a people break the ancient agreement between God and man. It is an ancient agreement that was supposed to last forever. Well, when people do not obey God's laws, when they willfully rebel without repentance, without remorse, God punishes. 6. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. God curses the land of the disobedient. Things may change slowly, but they change for the worse, and the people will suffer. God is not mocked. Verse 7. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. You know, when God withholds water from the vines, there's no wine for the people to enjoy. God knows how to put an end to the party life of sinners. They arrogantly think that they can just go on ignoring God and life is one big party and there's no price to pay for it. There is, and there will be. Verse 8. The mirth of timbrels ceaseth. The noise of those who rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. The sound of music will stop. People will not be able to divert their attention away from God by playing music or any other entertainment for that matter. 9. They shall not drink wine with song. Strong drink, and that would be beer. Strong drink shall be bitter to those who drink it. And so God says a guy's beer won't even taste good to him. And when the guys down at the corner tap begin to realize that they're in big trouble with God, you know, when they put down their pool cue and they say, I'm in trouble with God. I honestly know that. I'm in big trouble with God. They're not even going to want a beer or anything else. I'm not against shooting pool, and I'm not against having a beer. But this is talking about people who have turned their back on God. 10. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. When the righteous judgment of God hits, fear and continual unhappiness is going to be the norm. 12. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. A lot of empty buildings, says God. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land, among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning of grapes when the vintage is done. In other words, when God judges the world will look like a fruit tree after the harvest. The world will look empty, no fruit, nothing good left. That day is coming. God will not put up with sin forever. The world cannot continue to go down the wrong road forever. Eventually, God's going to bring it to a screeching halt. 14. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for their majesty of the Lord, for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud from the sea. And this is talking about a godly remnant. Because even in times of judgment, God has a faithful remnant of people who sing praises unto him. 15. Wherefore glorify the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the coastlands of the sea. Some will give honor to the Lord God. Verse 16. From the uttermost part of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, and this is Isaiah speaking, my leanness, woe unto me. This was a tough job for Isaiah to speak the word of the Lord because it was not a pleasant message. The treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously, yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt very treacherously. God will always have his faithful ones scattered throughout the earth, but they are far and few between, or few and far between, I should say. Verse 17, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitants of the earth. God says terror and traps await sinners. Terror comes from an angry God and the traps they have set for themselves by their sin. 18. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit, and he that cometh out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. God says, the unrepenting sinners won't be able to escape the anger of God. They just will not be able to win. No matter how hard they try, they can't win. They may climb out of their hole, but if they do, they'll just fall into a trap. This is talking about not being able to escape the judgment of God because of their sin. People need to repent before sin lulls them to sleep. They become spiritually dull, spiritually blind. They no longer think of repentance anymore. And in the end, they fall in a deadly trap. 19. The earth is utterly broken down. The earth is thoroughly dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. In the final days, the earth is going to shake and split. 20. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a booth, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. God says the guilt of sinners is like a heavy weight which the earth cannot bear. The earth will sway like a drunk and crumble under the heavy load of man's sin. 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And so God's judgment will be seen even on celestial bodies as well as on the earth. 22. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. The world's leaders who have not led in the way of holiness shall be punished as well. 23. Then the moon shall be confounded, and the sun ashamed, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and before his ancients gloriously. The remnant who remain after God's judgment, those who get through God's judgment, the righteous, will stand in God's judgment according to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. And those who get through God's judgment will experience the greatness of God like never before. God's greatness will make the sun and the moon look dim in comparison. And we'll pick it up in chapter 25 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.